Well, good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on the last Wednesday in November out of the Planet FM studios in Auckland. Our delayed broadcast has gone out on the first day of December down there in Christchurch, and on the second day of December down there in Wellington. So we'll probably have to play a Chris Oakes before the end of the program tonight. We normally play it the first weekend of the first week of December. So technically speaking, by the time you're listening to this in Wellington and Christchurch and Kapiti Coast, it will be the first week of December, and obviously not long to go now until Christmas. And I hope if you're travelling back to Ireland for Christmas, I'm sure you're looking forward to it. I was there last year. It's a great time of the year to be going back to family and friends, and hopefully the weather will be quite good. The programme you're listening to, Ireland Calling, is brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and they've been supporting Ireland Calling now for probably almost 18 or 19 years. So thanks again to the Hugh Green Group, and thanks to you for tuning in. I'll give you another chance to enter the competition to win one of the three bottles of Cool Swan. We had a chat to Stuart last week, and you just have to give me the name of the town beginning with the letter B in Cavan where Cool Swan is made. But more about that later on. We kick the program off tonight with a band from Tuam, and they're singing all about Only One Girl. Yes, the band from Tuam there called the Saw Doctors, and they're singing, what do you call it, Only One Girl. And up next we will indeed have the Fairy Tale New York, because it's kind of timely, because Shane McGowan, he got married on Monday in Copenhagen to his girlfriend of over 30 years. So he's pictured, featured on many newspapers. So he got married to Victoria Mary Clark. She's 52. And they've been an item together. I'd hardly recognise Shane McGowan if I was to. There's a picture of him in many of the papers on Tuesday, and if you could imagine, he looks just like one of the top twin girls. He's on a wheelchair. He certainly looks a lot older than he's. I think he's about 62. and his dad wasn't well enough to due to ill health, and his mum, of course, was tragically killed in a car accident in Tipperary in around between Christmas and New Year in 2017, 2 years ago. We'll start on sport tonight. The big sporting news in Ireland over the last few days has been the announcement, as expected by Kiwi Joe Schmidt, that he's to step down as coach of the Irish rugby team after the Rugby World Cup in Japan next year. And what surprised a lot of people is he's going to retire from coaching altogether. He wants to spend more time with his family. Him and his wife are going to move back here to New Zealand. And everybody thought that he'd be a shoo-in to get the All Blacks job if Steve Hansen steps down. But he says no, he's going to spend time with his family. And I suppose maybe after taking a few years out from professional sport, which is all time-consuming, he said he may look at it being a coach again. But of course, he's got four children. One is back here working. Two are in, one in Ireland, I think, one in the UK. And then he's got a young boy, 16, who suffers from epilepsy. And he's obviously needs to be where a medical centre that can help with that terrible disease. And I think there's a centre in Melbourne. So they're coming back here this time next year, after the World Cup, and can you imagine the hero's welcome he'd get back in Ireland before he comes back, if Ireland go back and win the Rugby World Cup next year and beat the All Blacks in the final. Well, they beat them off the field 2 weeks ago, and then in the Rugby Awards on Monday night, Johnny Sexton won the International Player of the Year, Joe Schmidt was the International Rugby Coach of the Year, and Ireland were the Team of the Year. So, as Steve Hansen said last week, technically speaking, Ireland aren't number one, but they're the team up there that everybody will want to beat. And of course, their next big outing will be against England on the first weekend in February in the Six Nations. Well, that all happened on Monday, but on Sunday, or last week, a bombshell was dropped when Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane agreed terms to leave the FAI. They signed a deal in February this year, quite a lucrative deal. And it looks like the FAI had to buy them out or pay them out because they were going backwards and has only won one game out of 11 that they played. So within 24 hours, within a few hours of Keane and O'Neill stepping down on Wednesday, it was rumoured that Mick McCarthy, the former manager who was there in 2002 when Roy Keane walked out of the team in Japan, Saipan, he might be given the nod. So on Sunday afternoon, it was announced that, in fact, it was Saturday evening during the Ireland-USA rugby game, it was announced that Mick McCarthy would be given the job to hopefully qualify Ireland for the Euro in 2020. And after Euro 2020, whether Ireland win or lose or fail to qualify, Stephen Kenny, the current Dundalk League of Ireland coach, he would be given the job. So he's been given the job as the under 21 coach at the moment. So it seems to be a win-win situation, certainly for Kenny and Mick McCarthy, but a lot of people calling for the head of the CEO of the FAI because everybody said he shouldn't have renegotiated the deal with Keane and O'Neill earlier this year after Ireland's dismal performance in trying to qualify for the World Cup last year. All right, we'll take a bit of music, and as promised, the fairy tale of New York City, and congratulations to Shane and his wife Victoria on their wedding.
Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. Happy Christmas, I love. When all our dreams come true.
city. When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the tunes they were singing. We kissed on a corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, "Go away, babe." And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
Someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD choir are ringing out for Christmas Day.
Yes, that's one of the most played songs in the world around Christmas time, and it earns in royalties for Shane McGann and the band around £400,000. And of course, singing with them there is the late Kirsty MacColl. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you here with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Well, just before we move off from sport, we'll come back to some of the Gaelic game results at the later in the programme. But good news for Kelly Harrington. She's a 28-year-old girl from Dublin's inner city, and she won a gold medal in the World Boxing Championships at the weekend in New Delhi. She's winning gold for Ireland. She's from the St. Mary's Boxing Club, and she became the first Irish boxer to win world medals in two different weight categories. And on her arrival back, she said she has spilt a lot of blood, sweat and tears to fulfil her boxing dreams. And she reckons she's not finished yet, with her eyes firmly set on for the next Olympics. So well done there to Kelly. So that's a bit of good news. Not so good news is the issue over Brexit. Of course, the British Prime Minister Theresa May signed an agreement with the 27 European leaders over the weekend, and now she's got 2 weeks to sell that to her colleagues in the British Parliament. And overnight she was in Northern Ireland trying to drum up support for the agreement that has been hammered out between the European Union and the British government. But of course, the Democratic Unionist Party, led by Arlene Foster, they had their conference last week, and at the start of her speech, she apologised for the Cash for Ash campaign that cost British taxpayers over £500 million. And this was what led to the collapse of the Stormont executive when Martin McGuinness called on her to step down as First Minister because of her involvement when she was the Minister for Energy. But that was the entree, and then the Clown Act happened later, because brought over Boris Johnson and a few other Conservative MPs to speak at the conference. And of course, these were people that are anti-Britain signing this agreement with the European Union. So I listened to some reports on the radio tonight, or earlier today, last night, Irish time, and most commentators are saying that Theresa May has absolutely no chance. She's got about 50 dissident MPs that won't vote for it, and the Labour leader said this is the worst deal possible for the UK. The European Union have said there's no further negotiation, so of course it's going to, if there's no deal before Britain pulls out of the European Union, this is going to have catastrophic effects, especially for Ireland and the border area. So lots to do over the next few weeks. But Leo Varadkar said it was a very good deal. It took a lot of negotiating over the last 2 years. And one option, which people say is probably not an option, but which may happen, that Britain goes back and have another referendum to see if people change their minds. Because if they leave, Michel Barnier has said there's no coming back. So it'll be interesting to see what will happen on that Brexit front. It'll all happen over the next 2 weeks. Righto, a man that travels the north, the south, the east, or the west, Daniel, and he's singing I Want to Dance With You.
Other lovers do. I just want to dance with you. Well, I got a feeling that you got a heart like mine, so let it show, let it shine. If we get a chance to make one heart or two, I just want to dance with you. I want to dance with you, twirl you all around the floor. That's what they invented dancing for. I just want to dance with you. I want to dance with you, hold you in my arms once more. That's what they invented dancing for. I just want to dance with you. At me when I looked at you. Yes, I did. You know that's true. You don't get embarrassed by the things I do. I just want to dance with you. Now the boys are playing softly and the girls are too. So am I, so are you. If this was the movies, we'd be right on cue. I just want to dance with you. I want to dance with you, twirl you all around the floor. That's what they invented dancing for. I just want to dance with you. I want to dance with you, hold you in my arms once more. That's what they invented dancing for. I just want to dance with you. Oh, I just want to dance with you.
Yes, indeed, Daniel O'Donnell. And Daniel, obviously, this time of the year, doing some concerts in the UK, and of course he has recorded a TV series that usually goes out around Christmas Day, and it's the Angus McAnally, who we've linked up with many years here on Ireland Calling. He's a presenter on RTE Radio and a producer as well. He's invited or played a part in the Mrs. Brown Boys Christmas show that goes out on both BBC and RTE on Christmas Day. I think about 10 million people watched that programme last year. Right, if you tuned in, you missed the first 20 minutes of the programme, which is Ireland Calling, broadcasting out of the Auckland studio after a beautiful day up here on Planet FM, Access Radio in Wellington, Kapiti Coast Radio on a Sunday evening, Sunday night, and listening in the South Island on Plains FM and around New Zealand and other parts of the world on planetaudio.org.nz. Now I see where Ireland's youngest city, according to this, is getting a 20 million facelift. And the youngest city in Ireland, you're asking, where is it? Well, it's Balbriggan in North Dublin. Balbriggan is the youngest town in Ireland according to the 2016 census and has seen its population growth of 94%, grow by 94% in the past 25 years. So it's going to get a new facelift. And some nice work here, some graphics in one of the earlier papers in Ireland this week. Hundreds still going to Britain for abortion as concern rises over the delays here. Hundreds of women a month have travelled to Britain for abortion since May's repeal of the 8th referendum figures reveal. And I mentioned last week there's still issues over the bill going through the Dáil, so it may not go through until the new year, so it will delay the introduction of abortion in Ireland. See an ad here offering people to go to the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade on March, it's on March the 17th. You depart from Ireland on March the 14th and 4 nights in New York City for €1,200, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of takers. Now, you might have saw in the news here a number of the All Blacks paid tribute to a soldier that was placed up on the corner of Stephen's Green there 2 weeks ago, and the sculpture which depicts a World War One soldier returning from war was erected in memory of all those brave soldiers who lost their lives in battle. And over 2,000 people came out and attended a ceremony on Sunday as the statue was moved away. And of course the All Blacks laid a wreath at the foot of the statue. It's a huge big statue when they were there. And then some vandals came along last week and obviously broke in and sprayed paint on it. But the Border Works did a magnificent job in repairing it back to its pristine condition. But it was only left there for 2 weeks. So it was quite big, standing 6 metres tall and made from scrap metal, including car jacks. It was created by Dorset-based artist and blacksmith Martin Galbave. And it was brought to Dublin by solicitor Sabina Purcell. So maybe it's gone back to the UK, but it's certainly huge structure. Farming under threat as soil fertility falls 40% in 10 years. Ireland's fields have suffered a 40% drop in fertility in just a decade, sparking concerns for the future of our world-renowned farming industry. Right, well, farming and in a part of Ireland where milk is produced in the County Cavan, this latest product called Cool Swan is manufactured. And we spoke to Stuart Quilty, the ambassador for Cool Swan in New Zealand last week, and he's got 3 bottles of the product to give away. So if you want to enter the competition, put your name and address on the back of an envelope or a postcard and send it off to Ireland Calling, P.O. Box 331667, Takapuna. And just give me the name of the town in Ireland, in Cavan, where Cool Swan is manufactured. And I'll give you a clue. It starts with B. A. B starts with the second letter of the alphabet. So if you can have a guess, or if you do want to save on postage, you can email your answer through to me, Oliver at oliverlee.co.nz. That's very simple. Oliver at oliverlee.co.nz. I will announce the winners on the program here in a week's time. Righto, time to have a song here about a road I lived in for a while in Dublin. And here's Eleanor Shanley and Raglan Road. Yes, the beautiful sound there of Eleanor Shanley singing on Raglan Road. And it's in Ball's Bridge, and I flatted there for a while, that all these Georgian houses, and they were all turned into flats in the 70s and 80s. But many of them now have been restored to their former glory. And in fact, the richest man in Ireland, Dennis O'Brien, he bought a house there probably in the 90s and has restored it back to its immaculate condition, probably better than it was when it was built. But a very expensive road, and of course Dublin booming now in the last few years. House prices literally gone well above what they were when the boom was last around in 2006 2007, but certainly not all over the country. Very disappointing news at the weekend, when a hotel that was due to welcome asylum seekers to Mohill in County Donegal, the Cashel Mara Hotel in the small Inish owned town of Moville, was set fire in the early hours of Sunday morning. And the arson has thrown into disarray the plans for the hotel to begin housing the first arrivals of a group of 100 asylum seekers coming in the coming weeks. So, however, hours just after, local people went ahead with a meeting they had arranged to organise a welcome party for the new arrivals. But certainly a number of people didn't want asylum seekers to be housed in this hotel. They broke into it, and in fact the owner of the hotel and his daughter were working in it. The fire broke out around 5 o'clock in the morning. And the police are pictured there in Monday's papers with the one of the local councillors, Martin Farn, and they were obviously disappointed, especially in the lead up to Christmas. The principal of Mobile Community College, Anthony Duggan, said the arson sent out a very poor message and the Christmas principle of welcome has been lost. And local councillor Martin Farn said he was immensely proud of the reaction of the people of Mobile. I said the people of Mobile would respond to the needs of the people, and they have. We obviously condemn this attack, but he's proud of the way people have come out to support them. So hopefully they'll get the hotel. It looks quite a nice hotel. It was obviously freshly painted. And you know, I'm sure these people that are fleeing war-torn countries would hope that they're made welcome in Ireland. We don't take a hell of a lot of refugees, I think about 1,500 a year. And certainly most people do welcome them with open arms. But some people, again, they like to see them coming, but they don't like to see them coming in their own community. Now, disturbing news here from the Association of Catholic Priests, where they're saying that priests that are accused of sexual abuse and who haven't been brought to trial at the time of their death are being refused, are not being given a full funeral, Catholic burial, which is very upsetting. There's one priest that's very sick at the moment, and he's basically allegations against him, but there's nothing proved, and it looks like that he won't be able to survive till the court case due to start, and his family are very upset that he won't be able to give be given a proper Christian Catholic burial when he dies. So obviously there's been some people that have been convicted that have been very, very bad, and that's a different story. But for people that's accused, you know, the old saying is you're innocent until proven guilty. This is a worrying fact for the families, and indeed for some of these priests that have devoted all their life to helping people. And if they're wrongly accused, as has been the case on a few times, this is terrible. Warning here of use of outdoor lights. Many Christmas lights that are sold for use outdoors are in fact not suitable for our damp Irish climate, a lighting expert has warned. So certainly everybody's getting ready for Christmas. Of course, the big Black Friday happened over there, as it did here as well. Okay, what are we going to have this time? This time, so see, looking around here, we're going to have Planxty, True Love, No Reason.
Billy Gray rode into Gansery way back in 83. There he first met with the young Sarah McLean. The wild rose of morning, the pale flower of dawning, heralded springtime in Billy's life that day. Sarah, she could see the daylight of reality in her young eyes. Billy born out of law, no, not her chosen one. He was a hired gun, wanted in Kansas City by the law. Then one day a tall man came riding from the badlands that lie to the north of New Mexico. He was overheard to say he was looking for Billy Gray, a wanted man and a dangerous outlaw. Well, the news it came creeping to Billy, fast sleeping there in the Clarendon Bar and Hotel. He ran to the old lies on the outskirts, thinking he'd hide in the old steeple there. But to rifle ball came flying face down. He lay dying there in the dust of the road where he lay. Sarah ran to him, she was cursing the lawman. Poor girl knew no reason except that he'd been killed.
Yes, the unmistakable voice there of Christy Moore and Planxty, True Love Knows No Season. And of course, since that album was produced and many years ago in the late 60s, Planxty were together and Liam O'Flynn has passed away. And of course, Christy's still going strong. So is Donal Lunny and Andy Irvine. I think Andy's still going strong. Or did Andy pass away this year? Hopefully not. I know another Alec Finn, another great Irish musician. He died 2 weeks ago, but certainly a lovely that album, Planxty, is called The Woman I Loved So Well, and I think late 60s, early 70s that album was brought out. You're listening to Ireland Calling. We've got about 20 minutes left on the programme. The programme brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and I know many people from Donegal and many parts of Ireland spent many winters over in Scotland picking potatoes, but the prices wouldn't be as good as they are today. Main crop prices hit 450 to 500 euro a ton as Irish potato prices double as harvest falls across the European Union. A 10 million ton drop in the European potato harvest has fueled a surge in Irish spud prices. Supply in Europe has fallen 13.5% this harvest, and I know that one of the potato growers in Ireland said a few weeks ago that potato prices in Ireland would spike as well, because as a result of the poor weather conditions, like great for the holidaymakers, but certainly not good for people growing crops this year. The very fine weather certainly was going to result in lesser yields. So potato prices, potato farmers, they'll certainly be very, very happy, you know, with the prices. But I remember growing up, we used to have a few acres of potatoes. And, you know, one year you might get £200 a ton and then next year everybody would be growing them, and the following year you couldn't give them away. Now is another nice picture here, getting in line. The John Smith Memorial Tractor Run in Wingap, County Kilkenny, gets underway. And there's a lot of these tractor runs that happen around. They're done for charity, but this one there's at least 50 or 60 tractors along the road to look like a wettish sort of a day in Wingap in County Kilkenny. Right, what else is happening here on the farming pages? Vultures' wings must be clipped. Members of the ICSA highlighting the Vulture Fund sales of indebted farms online outside the offices of the BidX, one of these Vulture Fund places in Dublin during the week. So certainly there's been a few farmers that have got themselves in trouble, and the Vulture Funds have, within their right, they've taken the loans over from banks. The farmers weren't able to pay back the loans or worked through them, and these guys have bought the loans, and now they're obviously, if the people can't service them, they're putting the farms up for sale. And you know, there's obviously local discontent where that's happening. Looking through all the farming pages, looking through these farming pages on the Irish Independent during the summer, there's lovely pictures of everybody out in the fine weather, but certainly not a lot of pictures in warm weather at the moment, though it's not too bad in Ireland. I want to show young women that farming is a very attractive. It's from the 2018 Zurich Farm Insurance Irish Independent Farmer of the Year, Gillian O'Sullivan, and she talks about farming. We had to see if we could learn the basics. Neither of us could even milk cows. So there she is with Farmer of the Year, Gillian O'Sullivan, with her husband Neil on the farm down there in County Waterford. Brexit may create live export loophole. We need a serious debate on the future of Irish beef farming, according to John Heaney. Some says bigger is always better. Not so if it simply means losing more money on more cattle. And a fresh bounty, a nice picture of sheep here, black-faced sheep. This flock of sheep in Ballyellen, County Kilkenny, had just been moved to a new grazing strip of fodder rape and volunteer corn. Looks quite nice, beautiful. With all the hedges there, obviously without their leaves. And finally, at the John Smith Memorial Tractor Run, nice picture of Bernadette Murphy and Ollie Purcell from Callan at the run in front of their big tractor. All right, we'll get the tractor moving again here, and I'm looking around to see what we've got. I think we've got a bit of music here from Enya. Thank you. Yes, that's Enya there, and that was called Caribbean Blue. And of course, Enya lives in Dublin, out in Dalkey, near where Bono lives, and hasn't put out an album for a few years now, but certainly leads a very reclusive lifestyle, but would have made an awful lot of money over the years. Probably around Christmas time every second year, she produced an album, and she's got that unique sound, a bit like Van Morrison. Every time he produces a new album, CD, all his fans want to get out and get it. Righto, we've got another 12 minutes to go here before the end of the programme, and coming near the end of the Gaelic football season in Ireland, although I see one of the players from Corrifin, he came out after Corrifin beat Ballintubber in the Connacht Championship on Sunday and qualify for the All-Ireland Club semi-finals. They'll wait the winners of the Scotstown Gweedore match this weekend. He says that, you know, these games should be finished all through the year and not go into next year, because they won't be playing that match until February next year. And then the final played on St. Patrick's Day. And he says, there you have Croke Park. If you played all the semi-finals of both the hurling and football over, you know, 2 weekends, it would bring crowds to Croke Park. And he said, if the GAA can organise to get teams to Boston and to Sydney, like they did with the Kilkenny and Galway hurling team last week, why can't they organise to get the club finals played before in a calendar year? Because he said, here we are now, beginning of December, we won't be playing our next until middle of February. And he says they've played All-Ireland Club semi-finals in atrocious conditions in February. And, you know, he thinks that maybe the GAA should look at this. The GAA are currently looking at changing the rules. And this has been in discussion. It's been approved by Congress. They were only allowing you to have 3 hand passes. You can't take a sideline kick and kick it back. And there was one or two more rules. But the Gaelic Footballers Players Association, the GPA, they've kicked up a bit of a stink. Now, they look after the elite players in hurling and football. And the Gaelic Club Players Association, they look after the lesser tier players. But there was a bit of a standoff yesterday between the GAA and the GPA. But not sure what has been resolved. But it certainly looks like the new rules are going to be implemented for some of the lower tier competitions that gets underway in January and February, and before the National League gets back. Of course, Ireland had a good win against the USA in rugby, and they take a break now, but it's back for the club matches this weekend. As I say, there, Corrifin, they were victors, not big winners, but 2-10 to 1-9 over Ballintubber to win the Connacht Club Senior Football Championship. And that was their third title in a row. And Portlaoise left to rue late penalty miss. Kilmacud Crokes 1-17, Portlaoise 3-8. So Kilmacud Crokes, that's the Leinster Club Senior Football Championship semi-final. Kilmacud Crokes, now they go on and they're going to play a team from Mullinocta from County Longford. They beat Air Oak from Carmel, from Carlow, 2-15 to 3 points. So the fairy tale continues for St. Columbus after they became the first Longford side to book their place in the Leinster Senior Club Final. They did it in style at Pierce Park against an Air Oak side that finished the game with only 12 men. So certainly not a good game there. And Dr. Crokes down in Kerry, they won the Munster Hurling Senior Football Championship Final, beating St. Joseph's Milltown 1-21 to 2 goals and 9 points. So that wraps up the Gaelic games. As I said, this weekend, the Ulster Club final is on between Gweedore from Donegal, their first time winning a championship and county championship, and they're taking on Scotstown, and they'll be odds-on favourites to win that match. Gweedore, and they'll play the winners, or they'll play Corrifin, as I said, early in February. Right, let's have a look around. I think we're going travelling down the Wild Atlantic Way here with this is Scott. Oh, my, what do you call it? Can't Aoife Scott. Of course, she was here last year.
Along the wild Atlantic way, 6 years in Nova Scotia, waiting for the day, day that we're returning home all along the wild Atlantic way. When will you bring me my love, counting down the days? When will you bring me my love, all along the wild Atlantic way? Remember when we went to Bourne Bay, shipwrecking bay, sat and watched the northwest sunset all along the Atlantic way. Time that we climbed Crowpatrick and nearly went astray. Our legs were aching, falling off us all along the wild Atlantic way. When will you bring me my love, counting down the days? When will you bring me my love, all along the wild Atlantic way? Time that we went skinny dipping down in Derry May, smelling Galway salted ocean all along the wild Atlantic way. The day that we heard Willie Clancy piping in Bull Bay, sang and danced till the early morning all along the wild Atlantic way. When will you bring me my love, all along the wild Atlantic way? Watch you catch the fish, their dingles, currents roll away. Wait for you with the half-light gloaming, all along the wild Atlantic way. Sighting back from the black bull head, skin salty from day. When will you bring me my love, all along the wild Atlantic way?
Yes, the beautiful voice there of Aoife Scott, and a lovely song called The Wild Atlantic Way. And we'll be heading away shortly. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. Listen to us here on a Wednesday night on Planet FM in Auckland, and our delayed broadcast going out on Capity Coast Radio on Sunday afternoon, Sunday night on Access Radio Wellington, and Plains FM in Christchurch on Saturday, and around the globe on planetaudio.org.nz pretty much any night of the week. The programme is up there online, you can hear it, and it stays up there till the next programme is recorded. But if you like the programme so much, you can actually download it to your computer. And as I said, we're, by the time you listen to this in Wellington at the weekend and Christchurch, you've moved into December. So the countdown is well and truly on for Christmas. And as I said earlier, a great time if you're planning to head home to Ireland. And hopefully it'll be the weather will be quite good over there. I was lucky enough to be there last year for Christmas, my first Christmas at home since 1992. I'm lucky enough to go back most years, but hadn't been home for Christmas, and it was just a unique time to be home. Certainly, once you get used to the cold, and we were lucky it was dry, but certainly the days are short and dark, but great time to get out there and to meet people and to visit and catch up with friends. As I said, the big news that's dominating Ireland is what's going to happen with Brexit, and it's in the hands of the politicians now in Northern Ireland and the UK. They can vote it in, and there can be a planned exit, or they can vote it down, which is expected what's going to happen, and nobody knows where it will leave the Ireland, especially border between North and Southern Ireland. Certainly nobody wants to go back to the hard border that there was there when the when the Troubles were on. So lots of negotiations to be done by all the different politicians. I'll leave you for another week, and I'll leave you tonight with a little bit of traditional music here from... I'm just trying to look here in the corner. He's a couple of reels. Thank you again for tuning in. And don't forget, if you want to enter that draw, put your name and address in the back of an envelope or a postcard and give me the name of the town in County Cavan where Cool Swan is manufactured. And just giving you a clue, the name of the town starts with B. So get your entries in. We'll announce the winners on the programme here hopefully next week, certainly the week after, and you'll have your Cool Swan for Christmas. Good night, goodbye, and God bless.